Amen. Or take your Bibles to the book of Acts, if you would please. Acts chapter number 21. I enjoy getting to hear preaching. I like to preach. I'm a preacher. God's called me to preach. I enjoy preaching, but I like hearing preaching. And I got to hear Evangelist Cody Zorn last night. What a blessing that was. And Brother Chris Dallas last week. And here recently, Dr. Taylor being with us and all that, man. It's been tremendous. I've learned a lot. But I love doing my own personal Bible study. Nobody's the Holy Spirit. And he does a great job of it. Brother Travis, I'm going to try to turn this thing on. If it works, it doesn't just work by plugging it on my coat here. I actually got to push the button. And all right. We have power. Acts chapter number 21. This has been the study that I've done through the book of Acts so far. I don't know what it's done for you, but I know for me it has been a tremendous, tremendous growth process in my life. I have learned so much from the book of Acts. Some things that I have read over and over and over again that God has just really illuminated and shown me some things. And I'm thankful for it. I enjoy getting to do the study. See, you understand, these messages that you get, I had to get them first. And God has done this in my life, and He's really helped me out with a lot of things. But as I've noticed in going through the book of Acts, Brother Travis, I've noticed a revolving cycle that's happened over and over and over again. And I believe that's evident all throughout Scripture when you read through things, how things happen over and over and over again, or God tells us something over and over and over and over again. I believe God has to do that for a number of reasons, but I believe the main reason is we're hard-headed. We're hard-headed, and it takes a lot to get through our thick skulls. And so God has to repeat things over and over and over again. Anybody that's ever had children understand, they don't just get it the first time you tell them. You got to tell them over and over and over and over again. And a lot of prodding and direction applying the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And God does those things to us, and I'm glad He does. But as I was reading through the book of Acts, again, one of my life verses is Acts 20:24. I think every verse in the Bible is important. I think that. But I do think there's some verses that impact our lives more than others. And that's because God's done something with that verse for our life or whatever. And Acts 20:24 has been a big one in my life. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." See, Paul was writing there and he was saying, listen, I'm not going to allow anything to move me from the call of God upon my life. God has called me for a specific purpose. And I want to finish my course that God has set me on. And he said, here is what it is. It's to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, that's what I've been called to do. And by the way, if you're a child of God in here tonight, that's what God's called you to do. It's to spread the gospel everywhere you go. And we ought not to back down on that. But then we see Paul was here at the church of Ephesus and he was doing a lot of things, but as Paul typically was, God used him in all kinds of different areas. And here he's heading out again. And we're in Acts 21, and we're going to read down through the first seven verses. It says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos. And that day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left, hand, and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden." Here they're traveling as Paul does. He's going to different places. And here the ship had to stop. They had to unload some things. They had to get rid of some things off their ship. And they were going to be here for a certain period of time in this little place called Tyre. If you study where Tyre was not a big place at all. Tyre was made up of two little cities, one here and then a little port city on an island. And Tyre was a very small place. It's a place that most people wouldn't say, hey, I'm gonna go over there. It's one of those places that maybe he came upon by happenstance. I don't know, but we know God put him there for a reason. But God had already done a work and brought some things through there. And I want you to see what happened when Paul got here to Tyre. And we're going to talk about lessons that we learn from the church of Tyre. Lessons that we learn from the church of Tyre. That's going to be the title of the message tonight. And I'm going to say a word of prayer quickly. And then we're going to get into this passage. Just we're going to go from this point where he lands in Tyre and the ship is stopped and Paul has some time here, about a week, 7-day period. And we're going to see some of the lessons that we can learn from this little church that Paul got to experience while he was there. And I believe it's some very valuable lessons that we can learn as a church that will help us go to that next level for God, go to that higher ground for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the day that You've given to us. Lord, I pray that You bless the message. You bless my voice tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll bind Satan and the devils of hell from this place. I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to honor and glorify You and to use these lessons and these verses, Lord, to help us. Thank You for all that You've done. Draw us closer to You each and every day. And we'll give You the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here they are. He landed in Tyre. In verse 4, it says, in finding disciples, that means there was already saved people in this little city. There was already a church, Brother Shane, in this little city of Tyre. God had already preceded Paul in getting there. There was already a church going on, a work being done. And somehow, we know through the preaching of the Word of God, this church had some things together that I think we can learn some very valuable lessons from. See, you understand, Paul left the church at Ephesus, and he was on his way. He had a burden, Brother Shane, to go back to his home church of Jerusalem. Back in Jerusalem, he wanted to go back to that church because he knew that God was going to send him to Rome and to Syria. And once he was there, he may never come back. He understood that while he was there, he may never have the opportunity to come back to his homeland, to the Jews that he loved, to where he grew up, those areas. And he wanted to go to Jerusalem and visit. A burden that was upon his heart that Paul wanted to do. And he wanted to get back there and do this. And here he lands in this little city of Tyre. And it says, in finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul, look at what it says, through the Spirit. Now they're talking to Paul, but here's a church that is led by the Spirit of God. Here is a church that I want us to see firstly is a Spirit-filled church. A church that tries to listen to God when God speaks to them. They're trying to tell Paul, according to what they feel the Spirit has let them know, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. He understood. They understood there was turmoil in Paul's past. They understood that there's people in the past that wanted to hurt Paul. They understood different things that, listen, they enjoyed their time of fellowship with Paul. And they said, listen, we don't think you ought to go to Jerusalem. But listen, Paul had to do what he felt God wanted him to do. But the fact of the matter is, this was a church. It said that they spoke to Paul through the Spirit. This was not talking about an evil spirit. If you look in your Bible there, it's the capital S, the Holy Spirit. This was a church that was a Spirit-filled church. This is something common that you see through the book of Acts, that a church that God uses is a church that is a Spirit-filled church. God will not use a church to the capacity that God can use them if we are not a church that is a Spirit-filled church. We have to be a Spirit-filled church. And here this church was a church that said they spoke through the Spirit. They were led by the Spirit in what they were talking to Paul. They felt they had talked with God, I'm sure. They had spent some time in prayer. And they went to Paul and they said, look, we don't think you ought to go to Jerusalem. They were concerned. But it said they were led by the Spirit. And I think that's very vital for us to understand some things, that we must be led by the Spirit of God if we ever want to reach new heights for the Lord. If we ever want to do anything and accomplish anything for God, it has to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we have to be the kind of church, like this little church of Tyre, that was a church that is a Spirit-filled church. All the way through the book of Acts, if we look back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He's giving them a very valuable lesson from the very first chapter of the book of Acts, saying the only way that you're ever going to receive power to get the work of God accomplished is if the Holy Ghost has filled you. And that's the only way, Tabernacle Baptist Church, that we're ever going to do anything with the power of God upon our life is if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. You understand, when you got saved, you got as much of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever get. He lives inside of you. The thing about being full of the Holy Spirit is that we stir up that Spirit that's inside of us and let it flow out of us so that other people can benefit from the Spirit that live inside of you. The fruits of the Spirit are very vital in our lives, and being filled with the Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit, which help other people to benefit from the fruits that are inside. You understand, a fruit tree, and we've mentioned this on several occasions, a fruit tree is not there for the tree's benefit. The fruit on the tree is there for the receiver of the fruit. And the benefit of us being filled with the Spirit of God is not for me to benefit from it, but for others to benefit from it. And for you, Brother Shane, if you're filled with the Spirit, I can benefit from that. If I'm filled with the Spirit, you can benefit from that. Because the fullness of the Spirit that flows out of us is known to all of those that are around. And here, this was a little church that was full of the Spirit of God. I want you to look at Ephesians, if you would please, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. Some very familiar verses, but I want you to see what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And verse number 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And verse number 6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Listen, you understand, church, that everything we do, the basis of everything that we accomplish, the work that gets done in every ministry. As Brother Shane was praying for the Bryan Center and all the Sunday school classes, the bus ministry, Vacation Bible School, the junior church, every aspect, the man of ministry, everything that is done ought to be done under the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Everything needs to be done under that power. This little church of Tyre that we learned, these lessons learned from the church of Tyre, firstly, is it was a Spirit-filled church. A church that was full of the Spirit of God. But then look at verse number 5. It said, "And when we had accomplished those days," after they'd been there 7 days, it says, "we departed and went our way." So he's getting ready to leave. He's saying goodbye to everyone. He's like, "I was here for the time God wanted me to be, these 7 days. Now I'm getting ready to leave and go on my journey." And look what it says. "And they all brought us on our way. With wives and children till we were out of the city. And we're going to stop there for right now. But not only was this little church a Spirit-filled church, but this was a close-knit church. This was a church where whole families served the Lord together. This was a church where it wasn't just the adults that were active and doing things. You had husbands, wives, and kids all together following the preacher, saying goodbye. We're all serving Him together. We want to be a blessing to this man of God. They were all trying to do it together. They were a close-knit church. You know what? That's what I love about Tabernacle. Tabernacle is a very close-knit family, a very close-knit church. And that's something that it ought to be. See, we ought to not just limit, though, to who can be involved in the service of God. Listen, God can use anybody who's willing. But I think a lot of times we think, well, they're just too little to do anything for God. Those kids can make an impact for the Lord. It's very important for us to get our kids involved in the work of God. Why? Because as they grow, it won't be strange to them when they become an adult on what it means to serve God. If they'll do it now as a young age, it ought not just to be the mamas that are serving God. It ought to be the daddies and the mamas and the young people and all of them together. You see, in this passage it says, and they all brought us on our way. Guess what, Brother Shane? It wasn't just one family. It was the whole church was involved. It wasn't just five people that were doing the work. It said, and they all came. Wives and children, all of them together. You know, it's sad in the day and age in which we live in where we have access to the internet. We can reach people all across this world, which we do through our sermon audio and different things like that. And praise the Lord for that. But you understand, there's so much more that can be done if more people would just say, Lord, I'll do whatever it is You want me to do. God, I don't care about my abilities. You can train me to do whatever You want me to do. But God, I will do whatever it is You want me to do. See, this little church of Tyre was a church that everybody was involved. They all went. They didn't say, well, I ain't got time for that today. They all went. The preacher said, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going down. They said, hey, we want to be a blessing, we're going to see you off. And it wasn't just one person taking the preacher to the airport or the ship area. Everybody said, I want to be part of this. I want to be involved. Man, what kind of revival could take place if everybody in the church said, I've got to do something for God? If everybody came in those doors saying, preacher, what can we do? If everybody went out those doors and said, I'm going to find somebody this week that I can bring to the house of God. If everybody got involved and said, listen, you think about our Sunday morning crowd. If everybody brought one person, we wouldn't fit in this auditorium. If everybody brought one. You think about the Wednesday night crowd. If everybody went out and got one more person to come with you, it would double in attendance. That's simple math, right? But if everybody got involved, by the way, it's not just the preacher's job to serve the Lord. It's not just the deacon's job to serve the Lord. It's not just the youth pastor's job to go out throughout the week and be a soul winner. According to the Bible, God showed us this little church at Tyre, not just to fill up space on a page, but He showed it there on purpose to teach us something that every one of them had a part in the work of God. I wonder, what are we doing for Him? Are we doing what we can do for the cause of Christ? I wonder how many of us could do more. Maybe we are doing something, but we can do more. We've limited ourselves so that we still have time to do the things that we want to do. Listen, if you would just fall in love with Jesus, the things of His ministry and His work are what you want to do. You want to do those things. If you just fall in love with God, then the things of this world really don't mean anything, but the ministry of God means everything. And we need to get involved. See, here was a church that was a Spirit-filled church. And because they were a Spirit-filled church, they wanted to be a blessing to other people. And They didn't say, hey, Brother Shane, you can go be a blessing to them. They said, I want to come with you to be a blessing to them. I want to have part in doing this. Whole families came to say goodbye. Husbands, wives, young people. What an encouragement that must have been to the preacher. Could you imagine what kind of encouragement it would be if a preacher got up to preach and he looked out and every person that was on their attendance roll that they had prayed for years and years and years just showed up. What an encouragement. What an encouragement it would be if we had a guest preacher and, man, people just said, you know what, we're coming to church. Forget about the movie that we wanted to watch tonight. Forget about where we were planning on going or the grass we were planning on cutting. We're going to the house of God. And everybody just came to get something from the Lord. And everybody said, you know what, that preacher had a need and we're going to give to that preacher, or this person in our church has something that they have going on with them and we can be a blessing to them. And everybody said, I want to be a part of that. Imagine what kind of revival could take place if everybody said, I want to do my part. But here was a church where everybody was trying to be an encouragement. What an example to encourage God's servant. Could you imagine the encouragement that Paul needed? Paul had gone through a lot of things. It was an encouragement to stop in this little port city of Tyre where this boat landed and had to unload its burden. And it took about 7 days to get back on the water again. And for this 7 days, man, this church, this Spirit-filled church, was being a blessing to Paul. Man, what an encouragement they were to God's servant. What an example they were setting. But not only were they setting an example, to encourage the servant of God, but they were setting an example for children to see. You think about these young kids, Brother Billy, that were there. These young kids that were walking with Mama and Daddy. Where are we going today? Well, we're going down to see the preacher leave. And you're going to find out in a minute what their purpose was. Of going down to the water was. It wasn't just to stand there and wave goodbye. We'll see what takes place here in just a minute, which is the next step in what we're supposed to do. But the whole family was going. You know what? It wasn't just mamas leaving the husband at home and coming down there to do the work of God, which happens a lot of times. We need some men and ladies and young people all working together as a family to get the work of God. But these children got to see this. It's very important for our young people to see what it's like to serve God. It's very important for us to take them soul winning with us. It's very important for them to see God do a work in people's lives. Why? Because we want to teach them what it's about to serve God. What an example this church set, not just to encourage God's servants and for children to see, but what an example it was for us today to be able to look back and see that example that God brought out in the book of Acts, chapter number 21. This little church of Tyre, for us to look back, Brother Travis, and see what kind of example we need to set. It's for us today. You understand, the Bible is not just for people in Bible days. The Bible's for us today. That's why God preserved it and brought it throughout the generations, because it changes our life. And they were setting an example. They did not realize, Brother Shane, that day, that they were setting an example for Tabernacle Baptist Church in 2017. They didn't realize that. But guess what they were doing? They were all involved, all doing the work of God through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and God recorded it so that you could learn and I could learn what kind of example we need to set for the next generation. Listen, I don't know when God's coming back. And guess what? Neither do you. But if God waits another 200 years, what kind of example is Tabernacle Baptist Church leaving for the next generations? What kind of example, what kind of picture of Christianity are we setting for the up-and-coming generations? What are we leaving behind? Are we leaving a biblical, Holy Spirit-filled legacy? Or are we just going through the motions of what Christianity is all about? They were a close-knit church where whole families came together to encourage God's servant, to encourage for children to see, for us today, guess what, for activities as a family, to teach us to have family activities that do things with the Lord. It's important for us to do that. It's important for us too. Several verses that we can look at. Quickly flip over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking in bread, and in prayers." Here's a church working together, a close-knit church. What's it say? "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking in bread, and in prayer." Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love," look what it says, "if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the" what? "Same love, being of" what? "One accord and of" what? "One mind." Guess what the Bible teaches us as a church? We ought to be a church going in the same direction for God. We ought to be a church with the same mind, the same heart, the same direction, a close-knit church. That's what the Bible says they were, where God was working in people's lives. You understand, fellowship is not about meeting in a gym and having a meal. That's not what fellowship's all about. Biblical fellowship is out of any fellowship of the what? Spirit. If any fellowship of the Spirit, it says, "If any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." Guess what the Bible definition of fellowship is? It's not just in having a time of refreshment and enjoyment. It's a time of sharing in the work of God together. Guess what that means? In prayer, in supplication, in one accord, in soul winning, all of those things, we need to be in fellowship with one another. But this little church of Tyre, not only was it a Spirit-filled church, not only was it a close-knit church, but I want you to look at this. Verse 5, "And when they had accomplished those days, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city." And look what it says they did, Brother Shane, "and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." Guess what? This wasn't a church that was just a Spirit-filled church. That was a church that was a close-knit church. This was an unashamed witnessing church. A church, Brother Nick, that in public wasn't afraid to kneel and pray. A church that in public wasn't afraid to be a Christian when everybody was watching. A church that went down to the shore where, you ever heard the phrase, "cuss like a sailor"? How many of those dock workers holding those ships, Brother Shane, standing there, probably unsaved people? How many people walking through the little city of Tyre that were passing by that little harbor where the boats were docked? Here, not just one person gets with old Brother Paul and says, "Hey, Paul, let's have a secret prayer meeting before you leave." No, this whole church, wives, children, husbands, all of them together as a close-knit church, came down with a purpose, not just to say goodbye, but to be an unashamed witness for God. And to kneel down and pray and say, "God, please help Brother Paul as he travels on his journey. God, please help all these people around here to understand that you are a God that loves them." And I could just see them having a Holy Ghost prayer meeting right there on the side. And I don't think they were ashamed of it because they all came. You know what? I wonder how many would come if we had a prayer meeting. How many would come if we say, "Hey, we're going to go down on the street corner. And we're going to preach on the street corner.
Brother Shane, we're all going to gather around in Salisbury at the community building here, the city hall. We're going to get on the steps at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and we're going to kneel and we're going to pray for our city. Wonder how many show. How many would be unashamed to be a witness for God? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I'm just saying there's a church that we're having an example of that wasn't just a church that was Spirit-filled inside the walls of their church building. They weren't just a church that was wanted to be Spirit-filled in the privacy of their own home. They were a church that was willing to boldly proclaim that they loved God and they wanted to serve God no matter who was watching, no matter where it was. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. And they let their life show. And they came down to the shoreline and they prayed openly in front of people. Last night I was at the revival meeting and Pastor Utley was telling a illustration. He said, I'm getting a little older. He said, and people ask me to pray and sometimes I forget. He said, so I told the Lord that anybody asks me to pray, I don't care where I'm at, I'm just going to drop right there and start praying. He said, I've embarrassed several people in Walmart. They're like, Pastor Utley, pray for me that I can do this. He said, I just drop on my knees right there in the middle of Walmart. I just start praying, calling out to God, asking God to help them with whatever need they have. Guess what? That's somebody who's unashamed of being a Christian. I wonder how many of us would say, well, let's go hide in the changing room and I'll pray for you. How many would say, you know what, let's just say a silent prayer. We'll act like we're just standing here talking. How many of us would really fall down on our knees in Walmart with our hand on a brother that asked us to pray for him and say, dear God, please help my dear brother that's asking for a prayer. We would be unashamed to pray openly for our God. We'd be unashamed to stand on a street corner and pass out a gospel tract to people walking by. We'd be unashamed to walk to that person on the other side of the gas pump and say, let me tell you about my Savior who loves you more than you could ever be loved. Listen, that's the kind of example that this little church of Tyree was setting. And God put it here for us to understand that we need to not just be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christians, not just counterfeit, undercover kind of Christians, but the kind of children of God that are unashamed to be called a Christian. That are unashamed to boldly proclaim that God is Lord. See, we live in a nation that has turned their back on God. We have a bunch of churches that have turned their back on God. And we wonder why it's a odd thing to hear of revivals going on like we're hearing about today. Why is that an odd thing? It's because we don't have Spirit filling. We don't have a close-knit group of people that want to serve God together. And we don't have people that are bold for the cause of Christ. They knelt in public. They prayed. What a witness that must have been to those dock workers. What a witness it must have been to the passerby. All because there was a Spirit-filled church that was unashamed of their Savior. We're going to read some verses quickly and then we'll end. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul's writing here in verse number 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And he's writing this to Timothy. You see that in verse 2. Look what he's telling. Here's teacher Paul to preacher boy Timothy. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He said, listen, don't be ashamed. Be willing to suffer if you got to suffer, but don't be ashamed of him. Look at verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know what he's saying, Brother Billy, is I don't have to be ashamed because I know what God's done for me. And I know who I'm serving and I know who I'm working for. And I don't have to be ashamed of Him because He's definitely not ashamed of me. He loved me and He died for me. And when I trusted Him, guess what? He received me into Himself. And He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm coming back to get you. You know why? Because you mean something to me. He said, I'm not ashamed of Him. But you understand, the Bible says if we deny Him before Christ, He'll deny us. Read the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. It talks about that. Look at Psalm, chapter number 25. Actually, you're in the book of Acts. You're in the New Testament right now. Go to Romans. Romans, quickly. Romans, chapter number 1. We say this verse almost as popular as John 3:16. Verse 16 of Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what is it? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what it means for you to be ashamed of giving somebody a gospel tract? You know what it means? You're ashamed of salvation. You're ashamed of salvation. For what is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel. If you're ashamed to give the gospel to people, then you're ashamed of the salvation in which you have. Shame on us. Guess what Tyree says? I'm not ashamed. We're going to kneel and pray for old brother Paul as he's leaving. And I don't care if the dock worker's here. I don't care if the passerby's here. I don't care who it is that hears, because we have something that we want them to know. We're not ashamed of God. We're not ashamed of God. Listen, I know the Wednesday night crowd is usually the faithful crowd. It's usually the crowd that's here all the time. Revival meetings. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you guys are in your place and faithful. But let me challenge you. It's very easy to get in the flesh and to get ashamed of standing up for right. It's easy to do. Especially when the pressure's on. It's easy to do. But I want you to understand, this little church of Tyree was an example to us. For us to understand that we ought not to be ashamed. Paul said, in nothing I am ashamed, but with all boldness as always. Guess what? We need to be bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Lessons that we can learn from the little church at Tyre is that we need to be a Spirit-filled church. We need to be a close-knit church that's willing to encourage God's servants and be an encouragement for young people to see. Be an encouragement for families to do things together. Be a close-knit church with the same mind, the same direction. But a church that's unashamed. A church that's not ashamed to stand up and call sin, sin. A church that's not ashamed. What kind of church?